Have the pleasure to be on top of the world and top of the mountain at Cantopa. Just to put our location in your heads, we are on top of the mountain that divides Sòlia from the rest of Mallorca, the Sòlia Valley, and the reason that the tunnel was built. But today we are meeting Paula and Damien, who live on top of the mountain. Welcome to Boat Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you have a very interesting story because you bought your place in the sun.
Yes.
And your place in the sun is right here. So tell us how you ever came to this spot, which is
a cafe, I would say, and a stop-off point for cyclists, walkers, photographers, artists, and general holidaymakers.
So tell us how you found Cantopa.
Well, it started off, we were searching online for properties in Mallorca for a holiday home. We've always loved Mallorca. We've been coming here quite a long time. We always used to come for a week in the autumn for a last bit of sunshine before winter set in. So we were looking for a holiday home, and this kept popping up and sort of sowed the seed. And we were coming out in September anyway, so we decided to come and have a look at it and hopefully get it out of our heads. But unfortunately, had the opposite effect, and here we are.
Well, I have to question that, because on the one hand you say you're looking for a holiday home, but this is actually an established business.
Yes.
So what changed then?
I've always had a dream of owning a coffee shop because I love to make cakes. So I always dreamt that one day I would own a coffee shop and make my own cakes. And this sort of covers that area as well. So when we were looking to buy a holiday home, it was with a view to them perhaps retiring out here in about 10 years. But when this kept popping up on the internet, I just thought, well, actually, if we did this now, we can move now, we wouldn't have to wait 10 years, and I would be able to make cakes.
You'd be able to fulfil your dreams.
Yes.
So what were you doing, Damien, while all this was going on? Were you part of this decision?
I was doing as I was told, should I say. No, it was the same with me as well. We've all, as Paula said, we've always loved Mallorca and always coming here and that. And it just seemed to tick so many boxes when we came here. And it meant that we could leave our jobs, have a business that's, you know, sufficient for us to have a decent enough life. And then it's because we both like cycling, we both like running and walking, and that is in the mountains, it's near the sea, it just seems to tick too many boxes. So
you knew Mallorca well, but your first introduction to the Sòlia Valley was when you came up this mountain with the agent, was it?
Yes.
Well, to be honest, no,
we
come up from the Bunyola side,
and we never actually went into Sòlia. This was as far as we came, so we've been all over the island but never been to Sòlia.
So you've never done the day trip, you've never done the trip on the train on the tram or all the things that people come for.
No.
So you didn't know what was at the bottom of your mountain here when you came?
Not until before we came to look at it, we did Google it quite a bit and watched videos on YouTube about the area, and, you know, obviously did a bit of research that way, but we'd never physically gone into Sòlia until we bought it.
And what did you think when you eventually went there?
Oh, we absolutely loved it. We couldn't believe that we'd been so lucky in the choice that we made. Yeah, we were
gobsmacked, yeah.
Well, when we talk to people that make their relocation choices, they kind of go into two camps, really. Those that have researched and done all sorts of things, and those that are acting from the heart. Which would you say you were?
Well, I think acting from the heart originally. I'd like to say between the two camps, really, but definitely acting from the heart style off with when we first saw it. And then we tried to research as much as we could. But as you say, we didn't actually come to see. We tried to come out again, didn't we?
We were coming out to Madrid in November, and we were trying to get the flight and that change, but it was really expensive to do, so we decided to just go for it.
So in a matter of a short time, you had changed your concept from buying a holiday home, thinking about it for the future. I think you just went back and sold up everything and came out here to follow your dream.
Yes. Yeah. We both went back, obviously had to put our house on the market, break the news to the children.
Yeah, that's quite significant too, isn't it, really? What did they think?
Well, they were obviously shocked because we'd sort of spoken about it, a bit about moving out and, you know, what our dreams were eventually, but I just think they thought we'd never do it.
Pipe dreams.
Yeah.
They just humoured us in there.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and where was home in the UK?
We lived in Northampton for over 20 years. So that's where the children grew up.
And your children are all doing their own thing now then, are they?
Yeah, yeah. Our daughter's a history teacher and our son is just in his last year at university.
Right. And so when did they get an introduction to this dream?
Well, our son was out for 3 months through the summer, wasn't he?
Well, since we've been here, he's actually been out four separate times. So, but like Damien says, he was out for 3 months in the summer before he went back to university. Our daughter, she's limited because she has to stick to the school holidays, so she's just been out twice. But they're both coming out for Christmas, which would be really nice.
So Christmas here, right on top of this mountain, I mean, we are here today as the season generally is coming to into a different era, and life isn't probably quite as busy as it was when you first came, is that true?
No, it's about the quietest it's been now. Yeah.
This week.
Yeah. We've noticed a real change in the amount of cyclists that are coming up because it's the end, the season's finished.
So just for the sake of our worldwide listeners, explain what is your life here? You're at the top of the mountain and you're one of two establishments that people can stop to get some refreshment when they've cycled or walked or done whatever they've done to get here.
Yeah.
And so how many people pass your door?
It obviously varies throughout the season, but in the height of the season in April, we were getting, 2,000 cyclists a day come over this col because it's obviously on one of the main routes that they do. We probably get about 5% stop here, which for us is more than enough because obviously there's only the two of us and, you know, that's the busiest time for us. In the summer, that dies down, but then we get more people stopping in cars and walkers, and then autumn, back to the cyclists again and walkers. So it's quite varied, really.
Which is, it's a nice, bit of a nicer time because then we can spend a bit of time to talk with time when it's the main season, the cyclists, it's especially a lot of cyclists just want to be in and out, rehydrated, get their energy bars, etc. and on their way. But between that time, it's nice that you can chat to the customers and all that, and you build up a bit of a rapport. We quite often will have people out here for 2 weeks that will come back
three or four times.
So you get your repeat visitors.
Yeah.
And then you are, of course, on the route for many of the established cycle races and Sky Sports and many other companies that are using this particular route. Because we do have, just again to set the scene a little, we do have 52 hairpin bends on this mountain.
Yeah.
And I think they are used as a serious training.
Yeah, I think it's a cyclist paradise,
and
isn't it?
The car rally, we had the car rally.
Yeah.
The other week, there's quite often to do car rallies up and down there.
Well, you had the car rally that was actually based over in, I think it was Espoli's car rally that came up. And wasn't that one that went through the night as well? Wasn't there a nighttime part of that race?
It didn't come over here in the night. I think it finished about 9, 10 o'clock, wasn't it, when it finished here?
What was the noise level of the Espoli's car rally?
It was very loud. It was good, though. It was good fun to watch.
We
recorded some of it, and there was a couple of helicopters going over as well, wasn't there? So, yeah.
And how does this fit in with your own lifestyle and your own things that you do for entertainment? I mean, are you runners? Are you cyclists?
Well,
are you walkers?
We're keen runners, aren't we? Yeah. So, like this morning, we were up this morning and we've been running up and down on the col. So, cycling as well. But then we would open up day's business, then usually go into the Sawyer Square or into Bagnolo or to the port, which we do love the port, don't we? But
I mean, it just fits in really well, though, doesn't it? Like you say, because we can do things of a morning and of an evening.
Yeah.
You know, so have you any intention of being a restaurant open in the evenings?
Not at the moment.
We've had some people inquire, and I think if there was, say, a party of people, someone at a birthday or in the summer, then yes, we would do that. But not
in general. There just aren't enough people coming up here of an evening to warrant us opening.
So your niche market is looking after bread and cakes and rehydration of walkers and cyclists, and coffee and general hospitality. But outside here on this lovely decked area, you do have a pool.
So
that might, I mean, how unusual is that? What do you do with that? You offer that to anyone that comes?
Customers can use that when it's really hot. The cyclists sometimes like to have a dip in there to cool down. We also get Spanish families quite often come up over weekend, so the children can splash about in the pool and the adults can sit around drinking, eating, chatting.
Holiday makers as well. If they've gone out for a day, they might come over just for the thrill of driving over. Then they spot the pool and they think on the way back, the children know it's there, you know, so they've obviously said to them, on the way back, we'll go in there, and then they're straight in the pool.
We actually had a family with me in the summer who phoned up to ask if they could come up, because they were staying in one of the hotels in the port, but they had two small children and the pool in their hotel was too deep for the children, so they remembered that we had a pool because they'd been here previously and brought the children up so they could play about in the pool.
And when you were sitting in Northampton planning your future here, what was reality and what hasn't worked?
I think if we had chance again, we would push more at the language, wouldn't we? Because we had some lessons. Wasn't enough in a short space of time, and that we're trying to learn the language, because I think especially to deal with business, that side of it, the town halls, that side of it. But I'm trying to do nothing else really. It was cold. It was cold in February. That was the shock.
The
high with 500 meters, so you know, and windy. That shocked us a little bit, but we're a bit more prepared this year.
And so we're now just watching the first snowfall of this winter, which happened yesterday here. Well, not actually on this mountain, but in this general location. So you are heading now for our tiny bit of winter. I mean, we only get a few weeks of winter, but you're ready for it, are you now? So how do you warm this place?
Well, we've got the two log burners, which, I mean, Damien, I think that was the best fire last night you've ever done. It was so good.
Not this morning, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so we have the log burners. We have dehumidifiers, which we tend to put on for a few hours in the day to take the damp out. A couple of heaters in the bedroom. So, yeah, we're just hoping it's going to be enough. But it's quite unbelievable to think this is now Wednesday. And like you say, we've had snow in the area. To think last Friday we were on the beach and you went for a swim in the sea.
Oh, please. You went for a swim in the sea already. Oh, dear.
It's lovely, wasn't it? It's lovely on Friday.
So within a matter of 5 days.
But that is completely typical. And it just does go, just make a switch. And the switch is all to do in the end with the wind direction. The wind comes from the north, you're in a different world. And the Mallorca becomes a different world.
We do as well with the weather. We get all sorts up. It really is alpine, really, the weather, isn't it? You know, you can follow what the weather prediction is, but we tend to now just every morning look outside and see what's happening, because
so you're not listening to the weather forecast. Well, you're looking at the weather forecast.
We have done, but we tend to find it's not all seasons up here, can't we?
Yeah, it can be sunny and then. Or then go stormy, but it blows over, doesn't it, very quickly.
So from your suburban life in Northampton, where I assume that you lived in a street like most people, you're at the top of the mountain and you're one of a very few cluster of houses up here, and you live here.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's dark.
Yes.
Very, very dark.
But it's lovely.
Tell us the story of the dark.
Well, it's just lovely because we haven't got any light pollution up here. There's no street lights or anything like that. So of an evening, the sky is just so dark. The stars are amazing. It really is lovely to just stand outside and look up.
It is mesmerising when you stop, turn the car off and you come out. And it's hard not to just look up. And then it just, It's moving.
And it's just so quiet.
And the moon, do you get very good view?
Yes. And even the lightning, when there's storms.
Storms, yes.
Lovely views, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the lightning right across the island.
So the appreciation of your surroundings in nature and the weather is something that you're enjoying.
Yes. No, we do have to pinch ourselves, don't we, when we open the French doors of a morning onto the Deccan area and the mountains, and that's our view every morning. It's quite unbelievable. It's what we used to have.
I mean, this mountain has become known now for extreme sports in one way or the other, because you've got to be a bit of an extremist to want to do 52 hairpin bends, either walking or cycling. But what about the natural beauty of the animals that you might find here, or the bird watching? What goes on here in that respect?
We do have twitchers, don't we? We see people. We have to be honest, we're not that knowledgeable on the birds. But, I mean, I definitely have seen plenty of eagles. And as I was saying earlier, I've seen black vultures up here and that. And there's a whole array of different birds. We've had friends staying that know their birds, and they've explained what we've got. And they can't believe, they keep telling us, you are so lucky. These birds, certain ones are so rare to see, and you've got them literally in your garden.
Yeah.
And you've taken photos and taken them back. But
so do you possess some binoculars now?
We don't. I think they have to go on the Christmas list this year. And a telescope as well.
Okay, so if your children are listening to this, Mum and Dad would like binoculars and a telescope. Is there anything else you'd like for your new world?
A body warmer.
So tell us what your dreams are for the future. So at the moment you are... into not quite a year of this new experience. So what's your ambition for next year?
Well, we thought we'll just see the first year out, because obviously, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. So once we've done the first year, I think we'll just sit down then and decide what things we're going to change, because we haven't really changed much this year, because we thought, with us being new to it and it's something we've never done before, it was best to just keep things as they were and then take a view next year. But we're looking into perhaps starting to do afternoon teas. So I can obviously make my cakes and do the proper English sandwiches with the cucumber and salmon.
Oh, this just sounds delightful. So the afternoon tea syndrome, when are you going to start that? We need to tell our expatriate friends around here that they can start salivating already.
I think probably the springtime when we reopen. I mean, whether we do it every day or whether we just do it a couple of days a week, we haven't quite decided yet. But once we know what we're doing, we'll advertise. And
so is this going to be scones and cream and jam and cakes and sandwiches?
Yes, the full works. Pots of tea and, yeah.
So the Ritz and Claridges, eat your heart out, because the finest afternoon English tea will be found on the top of the mountain in Sawyer.
Yes. Hopefully, yes.
There's plenty of people that are going to be listening to this thinking this is a dream. That, you know, these people just went, they went home and sold their house, they told their kids, and then they went. And it really took less than a year to do that, didn't
it? But in some respects, I think that was probably the best way to do it, because we didn't really have too much time to think about it and to start panicking about it. We just did it, didn't we?
But I think our original plan at one time, we were considering renting our house back home, taking 4 months, both leaving our jobs, and just seeing what it was like to live here and see if we could survive. That was the sensible original plan. But I feel if we'd have done that, because when you initially move, so you lose all your circle of people, that so your car breaks down, you know who fixes it, you need the plumber, the candlestick maker, everything, and you haven't got that. And when you jump in the deep end, like we did, but so you make it work, I think.
Yeah.
If we'd had the get out option or dip your toe in, okay, hasn't worked, I'm going back home. I think
the way we've done it, you have to make it work. So, you know, you have
your
no
boats
choice,
are burnt,
really.
In a way. So you have to, you live here, so I'm here, this is where I live now. Any problems, I've got to sort it out here, make it work here. Because it's worth, you know, because it was worth it. And whenever we lost the plot a little bit, we would drive to the port, by the bar, watch the sunset, and think,
yeah.
Oh, no, this is Sunday night. It's Monday morning tomorrow.
So you're living and working, you're having your being right here, but what about those cats? Tell us the story of your cats.
Well, we brought the cats over with us. We left the children there, but we brought the cats with us.
Would you mind telling me how much it cost you to bring the cats?
Do I have to? Yeah. Okay, it cost £1,200, which at the time was about €1,500, to bring the cats over,
it
to fly them over.
Much.
Our flights were £200 and the cats were £1,200. So, plus we had to get them passports and up to date with all the inoculations and everything. So, it wasn't cheap. We've been here for 6 days all in all, because we'd lived in a rented house for a few days till we purchased this property. And after 6 days, one of the cats escaped, and we actually went missing. But on the 50th day, and it was actually our daughter's birthday, so it was quite a nice birthday present for her, but he returned.
He returned after 50 days,
Yeah. But he was a bag of bones. He's a long-haired cat, and he was in a right mess. He was covered in knots all over his fur, wasn't he? But he came back. So.
And the other one wasn't as adventurous.
4 days.
Missing for 4 days, but I think he decided, no, I know where the food is, and came back. So.
So you've still got both cats.
Got both of them
fully restored to health. And worth the £1,200 that you...
Well, not really, because you don't see them during the day.
We don't see them now in the day.
Oh, they're having too much fun.
Yeah. They come back of a night time to be fed and to sleep, and then they're back out first thing in the morning. So we don't see them at all during the day.
But that's really odd. I mean, these cats were how old when you brought them here?
4.
Yeah.
Nearly 4 years
old. And they had an ordinary domestic life in the UK, did they?
Yeah.
So they had a garden to go out into and they lived in the house.
And it was the other way around in the UK. They used to be in most of the day and go out at night because they had a cat flap. They could come and go as they please. So, but now it's
they must just love it. It must just be paradise for the moment.
So, so your cats are grateful to you.
as long as
you continue to bring the food in, is it? Yeah, fine. And are there any other animals up here, apart from the goats and...
Well, say, there's plenty of goats. And pine martins, we have pine martins.
What is a pine martin? Have you actually seen any?
Yeah, I've seen
them.
They look like large rats, or am I...?
No, but more like a sort of ferrety in a way, but the size of a domestic
cat.
Quite big, aren't they? Quite big animal.
And this is the scourge of the chickens, isn't it?
By all accounts.
Yeah, apparently so, because we were hoping to have chickens here, but we've been told they wouldn't survive because the pine martins would get them no matter what.
Mm. And we've definitely got them. Well, I've seen them.
Yeah. But we have the donkeys across the road as well.
The donkeys,
entertainment for the customers.
Yeah, so. He's got some really good traditional donkeys there.
And plenty of sheep, the farmer.
Yeah.
Plenty of sheep as well.
And the land that comes with this, your terrace land.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do with that?
Well, we've been told we can plant olives and almonds, which we will do when we get around to sorting that side out. We have apricots, which we didn't realise straight away. We have apricots, we have blackberries.
Tomatoes and
grapes.
And stuff like that,
we'll plant some shrubs, I think, going forward. We were hoping to have lemons and oranges, but apparently we can't have those because it gets too cold of a night time up here.
Well, I'm sure you're conscious that right now in England they're having the world travel market, and one of the big issues for the Balearics and what they're discussing more than anything else at that exhibition is winter tourism. Now, with the kind of things that you're providing here, you're refreshing those that use this mountain any time. I mean, is this something that you intend to do? Are you going to be open all year for the first?
We're just going to see how it goes, to be honest, because, like I said, because it is our first year, we don't know how it's going to go, but it's obviously quieting down a lot now. We've sort of got a penciled in that we'll close at the end of November, but we are going to be doing work in here, so we've just decided if we are inside the house, painting, decorating, whatever we're doing, we'll probably just leave the front door open.
Just leave the door open. Anyone wants to come by for a coffee, they can.
That's fine,
What about the extreme mountain sports? I mean, have you seen any of the ones, the guys that come out and they are Well, they're either cycling or they're walking with their miner's helmets and lights on, and they're doing this through the night. Have you come across any of the night walkers yet? Are you ready to open for the night walkers?
Well,
well, if
we've had a few stranded walkers.
Yeah, but we've said we'll go with whatever is dictated to us. You know, if there's going to be business there, we're quite happy to open. You know, like I say, we're quite happy to change to suit the customers, really.
Do you have a view of people that really are working against perhaps their bodies, people that would like to be fit, and so they're working, and they are using this mountain to get fit, but when you see them, you think, oh my God, I'm going to have to call an ambulance any minute now. Have you had any people like that?
It's a good question, really, because I think, you know, you have to treat it with respect, I think, the mountain. Although, as you say, it's not massively high, it's only 500 metres, but there's a lot of hairpins and there's quite a big percentage on some of the climbs. And we have sometimes been out in the garden and you hear some awful, you know, people are really pushing themselves. And
we've had a couple of domestics outside as well where couples have come up the woman's not happy, she hadn't realised it was going to be so tough, and they're having a bit of a...
And then when they get to that position, if maybe one's not as confident on the bike as the other, because they've then got to descend, which is not easy. So it's...
So what have you done other than give them Valium and coffee?
Kept out of the way.
And we had, early in the season, remember those two fellas, the Austrian fellas?
Yeah.
That walked up here, bless them.
They'd come up straight from the port, didn't they? So it was, you know, quite a long way. Yes, yeah.
And they weren't in the best, what should we say, you wouldn't have put them as that's quite an achievement, you know, say. And anyway, they came in and they asked for a beer, which is never particularly a good sign. So wanted a couple of beers and then that big bowl of spaghetti, which we'd done. And then their cheeks went nice and red. The fire was on and all that. So all taking the shoes off. And then one said, "You have a car?" I said, "Yeah, I've got a car." "Oh, please," he said. "We've made a big mistake," he said. "We didn't think it was this far," he said. "Could you..." So that was another trip back down the mountain.
We had a group of Italian blokes as well who'd got lost. They turned up here and didn't they want... They were on the way to Day or something and they'd taken a wrong turn. Well, and then they asked what time was the bus? No buses.
What time's the bus? No bus. No bus.
So you had to drive them down as well, didn't you?
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you for interrupting all your work to tell us your stories of the top of the mountain. And we wish you all the very best here, and thank you for talking to Boat Radio.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Goodbye.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.